News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you, and thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. Tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving, so we will not be here tomorrow. But there is plenty to talk about on today's program. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things happening in the news. Whatever you've heard about lately on WSJM News, we will discuss on Our Take. But we'll have longer conversations with the folks who are making things happen, or the folks who are in the know. Oftentimes, they're one and the same. Coming up on today's show, we will chat with Congressman Fred Upton about multiple issues. I checked in with him yesterday about all the standard stuff, the budget, etc. We also talked about DACA, and we talked about sexual harassment in Congress. He's against it. We'll talk with our congressman coming up here in the next segment of the show. We'll also hear about Gretchen Whitmer's visit to Benton Harbor. Gretchen Whitmer, frontrunner for the Democratic nomination for governor here in the fair state of Michigan. She led a town hall last night in Benton Harbor. I was there. I talked with her for a few minutes. We'll hear that conversation. We'll talk with the Berrien County Health Department today about food safety and you with Thanksgiving tomorrow. I chatted with the health department's Jillian Conrad about how to make sure you are following all the best practices so you don't get food poisoning or some other foodborne illness tomorrow. Then on today's program, we'll chat with AAA about Thanksgiving travel. Lots of people hitting the road in the next few days. They have some interesting numbers for us. And then finally, we'll close out today's show by checking in with the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph. They're planning a makerspace for the holiday season here. You know what makers are, don't you? Those are those people who make things. People who put together their own projects. Well, the Box Factory is going to have an area set up where folks can sell their wares, whatever it is that they make, they'll be able to sell there. We'll learn about that on today's program. Maybe you'll get some good Christmas gift ideas from today's show. And right now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will resume today's Our Take by chatting with Congressman Fred Upton about several issues in Washington. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. I'm glad to be with you. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. By the way, if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on today's program, send us an email. The address is ourtake at WSJM.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with our man in Washington, Congressman Fred Upton. Several things to talk about in our nation's fair capital. So I talked with Fred yesterday about multiple issues. They include the budget, DACA, as well as sexual harassment. So let's hear that conversation now. All right, Fred, first of all, last week you announced you have decided not to run for the United States Senate. Would you tell us more about that decision? You're going to seek re-election to the House.
Well, I did. You know, I was really flattered. A lot of people came forward from all over the state, and they're looking for, you know, end this dysfunction in the Senate, someone who could work with both sides of the aisle. But at the end of the day, as we looked at the next year, the money you have to raise, literally $250,000 every week, you know, you're going to probably spend $12, $20 million. Life's awfully short, and it's too short. And it's just, we just figured it shouldn't be in the cards. And I'm happy where I am, happy with my family, happy with the job that I have, and we'll continue to look out for the interests of all of Southwest Michigan.
So how close did you come to actually taking the plunge there and running for Senate?
Well, we actually did come pretty close. You know, it was sort of a week-to-week struggle, you know, should we do this or not? I was over in Macomb County and Detroit and, you know, a lot of different places. And, you know, it's a big state. It's 14 congressional districts. There's a lot of moving pieces that are there. And, you know, it's we were up and down on it, but at the end of the day, I'm convinced we made the right decision. I'm sleeping well at night and happy with the path that we chose.
Okay. Have you taken a look at any of the other Republicans who are running in that race?
Well, as you can imagine, they've all approached me. I'm intending to stay, not making an endorsement in the primary. Let the voters decide. We've got some good people that are running. And I'm not so sure that I ought to endorse any of the candidates, so I don't plan on doing that.
All right. Now, the last time we talked, Fred, we spoke about tax reform. The House has passed a tax reform plan. Now, the Senate is working on this. What's the situation right now in the Senate when it comes to tax reform?
Well, the Senate plan is quite a bit different than the House plan. In the House plan, we keep the top rate exactly where it is for anyone making more than $500,000. We target the middle class in terms of real reductions. It's an average of more than $1,100 less in taxes that a middle class family is going to have to pay. We kept the adoption tax credit. We kept, obviously, charity and mortgage deductions that are there. The number of folks that will itemize their tax deductions will drop from 30% down to about 10% by increasing the standard deduction. The House cuts are permanent. The Senate's got some differences there. So we're all anxious to see what the Senate does, if they can actually pass a bill, and then obviously work on the differences between the two to see if it is going to reach the president's desk. So a lot of work in the next couple of weeks. The goal, of course, is to get it done before Christmas.
All right, so do you think the Senate should actually be taking off for any holidays while they still need to vote on this?
You know, I was one that thought that Leader McConnell should keep them in this week to Thanksgiving week to get them to vote on this. They're behind the House. If we're going to make this effective this year, they need to spend that legislative time, those days that they're, you know, back in their own states. They need to be back in D.C. getting this thing figured out. So I'm hoping that they can finish the job. This was originally a week that they're going to have off. Then Speaker or Leader McConnell said, no, I'm going to keep you here before Thanksgiving. And then he let all the senators go home. So I just hope they can get their job done. A lot of it is riding on whether or not they can get the votes to get it done or not.
Do you think health care should be wrapped up in this in any way?
You know, I don't know how that's going to play out. They, in essence, have a piece that would repeal Obamacare without a replacement piece. I think that's trouble for a lot of folks in the Senate to look at. So we're all anxious to see what version they come up with and then see how that might or might not move through the full Senate.
Right. Now, the last thing that the last major legislation the House took on was health care, and they approved a plan. The Senate, of course, didn't. Now we've got tax reform. The House has approved a plan. It seems like if it fails anywhere, it'll be in the Senate.
Yeah, I don't know what the Senate's going to end up doing. They're looking at trying to put into a piece in the tax bill on health care. It's not complete. It's just a repeal of the individual mandate without any replacement pieces. There is a bipartisan bill led by Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray, Republican and a Democrat, that have worked hard the last couple of months. But that bill doesn't look to be part of this tax bill, and without that piece there, there's probably some real tough times trying to get the overall bill passed. So we're all going to watch this with a lot of interest, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. All right, so what's the next big thing in Congress? Last time we talked, you mentioned some spending resolutions.
A couple big things that are on our plate before Christmas. Obviously, the tax bill is number one. Number two, the funding resolution for the balance of fiscal year 18. Currently now that stopgap measure operates through December 8th. That's not too far away. And so that's going to have to be extended. The guess is that there'll be about a week extension perhaps, and then we'll finish the job for the rest of the year. But also in abeyance, of course, is the whole immigration issue, particularly with our DACA kids. Kids that came often at a very young age, maybe 3-4 years old. They've been here 15-20 years. They've been in our schools, they're in our colleges, they're working, and they're paying taxes. They're here with all those legal rights. The president said back in September, Congress, do your job. Instead of having a temporary executive order that deals with this, you need to actually pass legislation. So that issue, too, could be up prior to Christmas, as the president gave us only until early March. There's no reason to have this be put off into next year. I think it needs to be done before Christmas.
You know, you read my mind. That was my next question I was going to ask you about. It seems like no one's talking about this DACA thing, but you think...
Oh, there's been a lot of work on this. I've been in a number of groups, bipartisan, Republican and Democrat, trying to get this resolved. Last week, probably about 50 members, Republicans and Democrats, getting together, trying to figure out exactly how this ought to proceed and make sure that these kids, now often young adults, are not going to fear for the safety of their lives, knowing that they've established roots here all their life, working parts of part of the community, and needs to be addressed with legislation versus executive orders.
All right, we're talking with Congressman Fred Upton. Fred, the final thing I wanted to ask you about was sexual harassment. You know, there's been allegations about sexual harassment in Congress. There's talk of mandatory training for everyone. Would you support that?
Yeah, you know, I am a co-sponsor of legislation. This is very troubling. It really is. I mean, for our office, we've had an office policy for decades, a written policy that all of my staff and myself certainly know about. We've had no violations that I'm aware of. I have co-sponsored legislation that would require, particularly with all these revelations that have been coming out over the last couple of weeks, I've co-sponsored legislation, bipartisan legislation, that would require training for every employee and member of Congress so they know exactly what the rules are as it pertains to this abuse. I have a very good sense that that legislation is going to become law, certainly become policy. But, you know, there shouldn't be any tolerance for this stuff. And, you know, the new revelations now that are coming out, you've got Senator Franken from Minnesota. He, too, has asked for an ethics committee hearing or an ethics investigation as to his own conduct. You've got the same charges now with John Conyers from Michigan and perhaps others, who knows. For the life of me, I don't know why the Ethics Committee didn't look at these from the very beginning.
All right, that was Congressman Fred Upton there, ending on sexual harassment. He would support mandatory training in Congress to ensure that that doesn't happen there. Of course, there have been allegations against multiple individuals in Congress, including Senator Franken and John Conyers of Michigan. So that was Fred Upton. We appreciate his time today for this edition of Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I wanted to tell you about Gretchen Whitmer's visit to Benton Harbor. Gretchen Whitmer, she's the Democratic front runner for governor here in Michigan. She stopped in Benton Harbor last night to lead a town hall. It was held at the Pilgrim Rest Church in Benton Harbor, and Democrats came out to talk with her about what their priorities are ahead of the next year's gubernatorial election. Now, last night's meeting was actually more of a listening tour for Gretchen Whitmer. She just sort of sat back and listened to what everyone in the crowd had to say, and people brought up many concerns. Common ones were, of course, struggling schools, how to approach them. People asked about disparities in the criminal justice system, why African-Americans get harsher punishments than others, and so that was a common concern with the crowd. People asked about technical education and so forth. And Whitmer just sort of took in their concerns and listened. She's drafting a platform now to run for governor. So I had a chance to talk with her, former state senator Gretchen Whitmer, after the town hall last night. Let's hear what she had to say.
All right, we're talking to Gretchen Whitmer, candidate for governor. First of all, you know, what did you think of what you heard tonight from the people that that spoke?
I'm really grateful that so many people turned out on a cold Tuesday night before Thanksgiving to talk about an election that's almost a year away. And I think it speaks to how serious people know that, you know, elections have consequences and how serious next year's election is. But I hear, you know, people telling me all the time about how we need to make sure that our schools are preparing our children, that we have real paths to jobs, meaning a job in the skilled trades or a four-year degree that gets you the skills you need to pursue your passion if that's your path, but also making sure that government's working for us. I think people feel like it's been a long time since we've had someone in our corner, and I know that Michigan deserves better.
Anything you hear tonight particularly strike you?
You know, it's interesting when we, you know, there are a lot of conversation about water, not surprising when you're in Benton Harbor, but I think that there wasn't anything that was surprising, but it was important, some of the points that people raised with regard to curriculum in our schools and how we need to create paths to the skilled trades and make that available and expose children earlier to those opportunities.
What are your main priorities as you you if you do become our next governor?
I can see a Michigan where we lead the nation again, where people move to Michigan because our schools prepare our children. We have jobs that sustain our families, and government works.
Now that you have this meeting, you've probably held other meetings like it around the state. What are you doing with all the information you hear?
Well, we're building a platform. I mean, I think that it's very obvious that my platform is going to be centered around our making our economy grow in a way that grows family incomes with it, around making sure that our kids have the skills they need through an education system that gets them prepared for life, and holding government accountable. But there are lots of different pieces to a statewide agenda, so that this puts finer points on them and keeps me focused on what really is important.
All right, that was Gretchen Whitmer, former state senator, Democratic candidate for governor here in Michigan. She is widely considered the Democratic frontrunner to a run for governor next year. She's still collecting petition signatures. She told us she's, you know, more than half of the way to where her goal is. She actually has enough signatures now, but she's aiming to get more to get on the ballot. And we'll be hearing more from her in the next year. Now, I did ask her one more question. I said, so what do you think of Bill Schuette?
I know that what I'm hearing from people is that they are ready for a big change in Michigan. And I think that having been the leader of the resistance for so many years, I am in a great position to be that change that we so desperately need.
All right, that's Gretchen Whitmer there, staying very much on message. She didn't want to get into Bill Schuette. He's probably going to be the Republican nominee for governor, but who knows? There are several candidates, the primary to drag out for the next several months. But that was Gretchen Whitmer talking last night in Benton Harbor, just chatting with folks about their concerns in Benton Harbor. She also visited Muskegon yesterday in Grand Rapids. She's going all over the state, and it was my pleasure to be there for the town hall. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, we will take a quick break. When we come back, you know what tomorrow is, don't you? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so I'll check in with the Berrien County Health Department to find out about how you can keep yourself safe when you're handling food and consuming food tomorrow. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to The Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Here we are for this Wednesday edition of the show. Everyone anxious to head on out of Dodge for Thanksgiving. And I certainly hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And because tomorrow is Thanksgiving, I called up the Berrien County Health Department and spoke with their spokesperson, Jillian Conrad. I said, Jillian, what do you want to talk about ahead of Thanksgiving? What should people know? And she had many thoughts. So I talked with her about food safety on the big day tomorrow. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Jillian, thanks for being with us. Just to start off, first of all, it's my understanding that there is a holiday this week, something about a Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. So you want to talk about how people can be safe with their food. So I guess just to start off, let's start at the beginning. What's the first thing you have to do if you want to avoid foodborne illness for Thanksgiving?
Yes, it starts from the time that you are shopping for your feast all the way through eating your leftovers. And there are steps and tips that you can note along the way to make sure that you are keeping yourself safe and your friends and family that might be part of your holiday celebration from any possible food poisoning or foodborne illness. We know that 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So it's a large proportion of us that will come down with some sort of foodborne illness. So food safety is definitely very important.
Okay, so you say it starts with the shopping. So what should you do to shop for Thanksgiving safely?
Definitely. So making sure that when you are shopping, making room for your food in your freezer, in your refrigerator, keeping your fresh fruits and vegetables that you might be cooking separate and away from any raw meat or poultry that you have, and making sure that you are putting those things into the refrigerator soon after getting home from the store. You know, refrigerate perishable foods as soon as you get them home to make sure that they stay in that appropriate temperature range. And if there's one thing that you want to get this holiday season while you're doing your shopping, it's not a turkey, but it's actually a food thermometer. that is a cook's best friend in the kitchen to make sure that you are cooking your food to an appropriate temperature and keeping it in the safe range so that you are cooking away any bacteria and making sure that everything is appropriately cooked before you're serving it.
All right. Now, when you do serve food, there's a certain time limit for keeping things sitting out out in the open too, right?
There are. So the rule is you want to keep hot foods hot and cold foods cold and keep foods out of what food safety experts call the danger zone. In that danger zone, bacteria can grow rapidly. That's when food is left and sitting at room temperature. So the rule of thumb is after the food is cooked, keep the hot food hot or the cold food cold, and refrigerate or freeze any of those perishable foods within 2 hours. You want to make sure that the temperature in your refrigerator should be set at or below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and that you're cooling that food that was hot to room temperature before you put it into the refrigerator, because if you are putting hot food into the refrigerator, it can raise the overall temperature of that refrigerator and potentially introduce bacteria or other bugs that could grow on your food.
Is there any particular type of food that you want to be the most concerned about when it comes to food poisoning or something like that?
Sure. So batters that are made or dough that's made with raw eggs, sometimes flour, those can contain harmful germs like E. coli or salmonella. So the rule of thumb is that you don't want to be eating that cookie dough or that raw batter, even though it does taste delicious, and not to be letting your kids taste that raw dough or batter either, just to be on the safe side. Definitely turkey and poultry can have bacteria on it as well. So making sure that you are safely thawing your turkey ahead of time is really important, and keeping it in its original packaging so that it doesn't get any of those juices over other foods. And if it is touching other things in your refrigerator, you know, making sure that those things are being washed also. And then cooking your turkey to the right temperature, which is 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Is a good indicator for keeping your turkey safe.
Okay, now when we start talking about leftovers, this will be relevant for weeks to come in some cases. What do you do to make sure that you keep those safe?
Right, so leftovers are delicious, and there's nothing better than a turkey sandwich the day after Thanksgiving. But like we were talking, after you have consumed your delicious Thanksgiving Day feast, making sure that you can cool things that were hot to that room temperature, but not let them sit out for more than 2 hours before putting them into the refrigerator. Leftovers cool more quickly in shallow containers, so that is a good idea just to put them in shallow Tupperware containers or other glass containers that you might have before putting them into the refrigerator. They do recommend that you reheat your leftovers to that 165 degree Fahrenheit temperature as well. It is also recommended that you're either eating or freezing your leftovers within 3 to 4 days. And gravy is one of those things that you should probably bring to a boil before reserving. And that is best eaten within a couple of days as well.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised with some of the tips that I've never gotten food poisoning before.
You know, right. So it is something that most home cooks are probably not aware of, all of these food safety tips. But it is the best recommended practice to make sure that you are keeping yourself and your family safe and avoiding those germs. And like I said earlier, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. Now, we know there's lots of other germs and viruses that are circulating this time of year. Norovirus is a big problem for a lot of people. That's the stomach bug. A lot of people refer to that as food poisoning. They think that they got it from something that they ate, but really it's a virus that causes those gastrointestinal stomach flu sort of symptoms, even though it's not a flu virus. It is just gastroenteritis. So that is something that is spread through contact. So if somebody is sick and might have germs on their hands, they're touching a serving spoon, somebody else is touching that, that can spread really quickly and just put a real damper on your holiday celebrations when somebody's throwing up or having diarrhea. It's a real bummer. But also this time of year, you know, there are influenza circulating as well. So getting that flu shot is the best recommended practice, making sure that you are not going to Thanksgiving celebrations if you are exhibiting symptoms. If you're feeling sick, I know it's nice to see family, but it is probably best. And the best way that you can show your love for them is staying home if you are sick, especially if there's young children or elderly in that celebration. Making sure that they are not having contact with people who are sick is the best way to protect them.
Okay, now something you mentioned to me earlier was because you're getting together with family on Thanksgiving, it is a good opportunity to talk about your shared health history?
Absolutely. So the Surgeon General of the United States has declared that Thanksgiving is actually National Family Health History Day. So this is a great day when you are gathered around with all your relatives to start talking with your family about any health risks or health conditions that might be part of your family tree or your ancestry to get a better picture of what risks you might need to be on the lookout for. So it is important that you're talking with your family about things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, what family ancestors might have died from, whether it was a stroke, a heart attack, those sorts of things, to understand better what is running through your genes and your blood to share those results with your doctor, and you can better discuss what sorts of screenings you might need to be on the lookout for as you age, and just different health risks that might be an issue for you in the future. There's a really great tool that's available online. If you go to familyhistory.hhs.gov, you can find a really great family health history tool where people can go in and enter in the information for their family and have a nice little printout that they can take to their doctor and start having that discussion for what health risks they might have in their history, like I said, like cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, those sorts of things.
All right. We've been talking with Jillian Conrad of the Berrien County Health Department about how you can be safe with your food and also use Thanksgiving as an opportunity to learn about your family health history. Jillian, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Nope. I mean, people can always find more information about these and other health topics at our website or our Facebook page. But I think that should do it. I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, that's Jillian Conrad, Berrien County Health Department, indeed. I, too, wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. May you not become ill from the food that you eat. Follow those simple tips from the health department. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, it is time for a break. When we come back, we will chat with AAA to find out about travel for the Thanksgiving holiday. A lot of Michiganders hitting the road. And also on the next segment, we'll check in with the Box Factory for the Arts and learn about their makers space. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in for this Wednesday edition of the show. It feels like Friday, doesn't it? That's because most of us have tomorrow off, and hopefully most of us have Friday off as well. You might as well have the Friday after Thanksgiving off. It's Black Friday when people go out to the big box stores and trample each other in search of the biggest deals. So I hope you have Friday off, too. Now, I do not. I'll be back Friday. I won't be here tomorrow. So there will be no afternoon show tomorrow afternoon with me, but I should be back on Friday. And for this final segment of today's show, I thought we would talk to a couple of guests. First of all, I wanted to check in with AAA to find out about Thanksgiving travel. They issued their travel forecast not too long ago. I caught up with the spokesperson, Susan Hiltz, because and she had some information for us about all the people who are hitting the road traveling around our fair state of Michigan for this holiday. And she also, of course, had a driving safety reminder for everybody. So let's hear the conversation now. All right, Susan, you're expecting, AAA is expecting a busy travel period here for Thanksgiving. Tell us a little more.
Well, what we're looking at right now, AAA is projecting over 1.6 million Michiganders that are going to be journeying 50 miles or more from home this Thanksgiving holiday. And that's the most Thanksgiving travelers that we've seen in a decade. So that's great news for our state and for the tourist industry also.
And we're talking about a 3.5% increase in travel over last year.
Yeah, we're talking about approximately 50,000 more people that are going to be traveling this Thanksgiving holiday compared to last year.
Now, why do you think more Michiganders are traveling for this Thanksgiving than last year?
Well, what we're looking at is really a strong economy. The labor market is has rising incomes, and we've got higher consumer confidence right now. So when people have more money in their wallets, they're more apt to, you know, go on that trip, whether it's, you know, driving somewhere or flying somewhere or taking a cruise or something like that during the Thanksgiving holiday. So, you know, kids are out of school. People have an extra long weekend. So it's a great recipe for vacation time and family time.
Now, the vast majority of Thanksgiving travelers are driving.
Right. I mean, nearly 90% of the travelers are going to be going by some type of vehicle, you know, probably a car or whatever. And it seems like the gas prices, even though they're increasing, it's not a deterrent for people to get on the road and visit family and go somewhere for the holiday weekend.
So that's probably a sign that people are feeling better about their economic circumstances if the gas prices aren't even keeping them home.
Right, right. You know, when you've got some key economic indicators that are positive, it's definitely having an impact at the local level with people who are, you know, getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday and getting ready to travel.
Now, I did notice something else interesting in the AAA prediction. You have an estimate, a prediction for how many people will have car trouble?
Well, you know, based on our information from last year and how many people that we helped, it's definitely one of the times of the year where people have car troubles. And we expect to rescue on a national level over 300,000 motorists this Thanksgiving weekend. And you know, that's why we like to remind people, if you can, you know, get your vehicle inspected before you hit the road, because some of these things that we have to rescue folks from are just some basics like flat tires, battery-related issues, lockouts, that type of thing. So more people traveling means more rescues by AAA, and we're there for everybody. But you know, I know that most people don't want to be on the side of the road or delayed in getting to their holiday celebrations. So the more that people can look at their vehicles and get them checked out by a AAA certified mechanic, the better.
All right, we're talking with AAA's Susan Hiltz. Susan, anything else you want to tell people, travelers, ahead of Thanksgiving?
Oh, definitely. AAA always wants to remind people just the safety basics. Always buckle up, drive safe and sober, and ditch those distractions. You know, enjoy the ride and just ditch all the technology for the weekend. That's probably the best recipe for everybody for a great holiday weekend.
All right, there you go. AAA, they expect a lot of people to be on the road tomorrow. Not even gas prices are keeping folks at home. I just looked at the Gas Buddy over here, looking at the Gas Buddy for St. Joseph. I'm seeing $2.48, an average of $2.48 to $2.49 on average for a gallon of gas around here in these parts in the St. Joseph. That's not too bad, I guess. But either way, it doesn't matter. People aren't letting gas prices keep them home this Thanksgiving, so keep that in mind. When you hit the road, there will be lots of cars. I noticed a whole lot of traffic on I-94 about 9 p.m. last night when I left here. So they're out and about. Drive careful. Stick the cell phone in the glove box. Make sure you check out your car before you go on a long trip. That's the advice from AAA. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, to wrap up today's show, I thought let's take a look at something that's going on after Thanksgiving. Coming up at the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joe will be a maker's market. The Box Factory is going to set aside spaces for local makers to sell their wares. I caught up with the Box Factory's Kara Garnett to learn more about this. Let's find out what they're doing. All right, Kara, so at the Box Factory, December 9th and 10th, you'll have a special maker's market. Tell us more about it.
So it is for all types of artisan creations. We're hoping that we get everything from like soaps and culinary types of things to fine artwork. And we're going to have space available for multiple booths in our building. And we're also going to be trying to have some other activities going on as well.
Okay, so when we talk about makers, you sort of just got into it now. I mean, makers just produce whatever they want. It could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all kind of what is going on in the art world, including like artisan type craft.
So why would the Box Factory in St. Joe want to set aside a special area for these makers to sell off what they produce?
It's a good question. We are a local arts organization, the Box Factory for the Arts, and one of our main missions is to help promote local art and to connect local artists with the community.
Right, and you being the Box Factory, you of course interact with local artists all the time. Now, I know the makers movement's been going on for a while here, but You think it's time maybe for the makers to go mainstream around Southwest Michigan?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, people have been making things forever, and there are definitely more people trying to, figuring out that certain things are their hobbies, or that the hobbies that they've already been doing that are creating things that they want to step it up and start selling to people other than just friends and family. So I think this is a good opportunity for people who not only do this all the time, but some that maybe kind of want to get started.
All right, so the Box Factory's Maker's Market will be open December 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on the 10th from 12 to 5. And people can go there and pick out holiday gifts if they would like, something a little unique.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good way for everybody to come and check out what everyone's making in the area, and then also to get some last-minute Christmas gifts.
Great. Have you ever done anything like this before?
This is the first time that we're doing it in this type of a fashion. We're going to have booths set up available for in a little bit different than we normally do. Normally we have three different galleries that we rotate artwork through, mostly local artists. And so this is a little bit of a different vibe.
Okay, that's the Maker's Market that's going to be held at the Box Factory. We just talked with Kara Garnett of the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joe. They're going to have a Maker's Market where you can go and buy whatever people make locally. It could be anything, really. And they'll also have some food available, fancy coffee, live local music, cooking demos. That's December 9th and 10th. At the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joe. Go to their website if you want to learn more about that. And I appreciate Kara's time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. We've had a busy show today, and it's time to head out for Thanksgiving. As noted, we will not be here tomorrow. I should be back Friday with another edition of Our Take. So on Friday's show, we'll talk with Lake Michigan College about their Grand Upton Hall renovations. We'll talk with St. Joseph today about Small Business Saturday. We'll talk with the United Way about what they're doing next week with an online auction. And we'll also check in with Perrigo to talk about their hurricane relief efforts. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we have discussed on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. And I hope you have a fantastic and very safe Thanksgiving.